This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Unabashed, Candid Conversations on All Things Talent. In this podcast, we have open, honest and unapologetic conversations about the emergent realities of work, worker and the workplace. I'm Neha Pant, part of the Knowledge and Advisory Team at Sherm India. I have with me Abhijit Bhadri, Coach, Talent Management Advisor and an author. Hi Abhijit, so what are we talking about today?
Now, I'm just curious to know, when you say emergent reality, what's that supposed to mean? Can you translate it for me? What is emergent reality? Because for me, emergent reality is, maybe very different. So I'm not going to tell you what is my emergent reality. What's your emergent reality?
You have decided to take my case right in the beginning episode, haven't you?
I always respect the elders.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, as a Gen Z, it is very important for me to respect the millennials. So,
yeah,
never ever do that. So, tell me, what is emergent reality? I'm just curious.
You know this and you just want to put me on a spot, like always, right?
Okay.
Of course, what is emerging for us, right? In this new normal.
I am trying to learn in an informal manner from you. So that is the...
Perfect. So I will tell you towards the end of this episode what has emerged for us today and what has become our emergent reality. Does that work?
Yes. Which means right now I go and blindfolded and then, we'll discover what are the two or three things.
Absolutely. Let's see what emerges from our conversation here today.
One of the things, I was reading about, how does that TikTok algorithm work? And one of the first thoughts I had was, and please don't laugh at this, but I thought, why are corporate learning and development teams not leveraging the principles behind TikTok? You know, what makes it so addictive? And that's really what was my emergent reality, if you honestly ask me. This is what's been on my mind.
Okay. You are truly Gen Z mind. I am Gen X mind. I have never been on TikTok. I have never created content on TikTok.
Really, Neha, say it one more time. I want to just, I know I don't believe my ears all the time. So tell me, are you not on TikTok?
I'm not. I've never been on TikTok. So, never, ever.
I think I've seen this, handle called Twinkle Toes. That's not you.
No, of course not. What is Twinkle Toes?
No, I don't know.
What kind of content are you watching on TikTok, Abhijit? I'm very surprised. I mean, I've only seen crass content on TikTok. I mean, from other social platforms, which will report about TikTok.
I'm going to talk to you about the algorithm of TikTok. That's what fascinates me.
Yeah.
It's not so much about TikTok. But
and I recently watched Social Dilemma, so I'm anyway thinking of going off all of these social platforms. And you are asking me, why am I not on TikTok?
If that is true, first of all, the app has been banned. But more than that, I think, I'm just... fascinated by the way what they've done is that you don't really need to be an expert in video creation or anything of that sort. You can do it on the phone, quickly create, simple video films. And A, videos are becoming big. Two, you can riff off somebody else's ideas, so you made a little video. I can just take the music track or just the video and create my own soundtrack and do all of that. And that sort of creates a community of really intriguing, large number of creative people. And they cluster, when they are showing the content, they are actually clustering people not by demographics. So there is no Gen Z content, there is no millennial content. There are people who like to watch, videos about dogs and puppies. So then they'll get to see only dogs and puppies. You like to watch, something about lions, tigers and mountains, then that's what you get to see. So they really have figured that out. So even in dissemination, and this, I think, is the missing component of every L&D team today, because media has moved and learning and development teams have to move with that. That to me is the missing element.
All those on-demand, learning platforms that we have on our intranets, those partner integrations and, which allow our employees to explore that content and consume it as and when they like. Perhaps it's not as addictive as TikTok, right? So,
One, the moment you kind of think about formal structured learning, think about the mandatory courses that you need to do when you're an employee. Yeah, the moment you sort of land up doing that, there's a certain tone. You can immediately, it's just like, when you hear these meditation apps, I'm always curious, why do people talk in that tone and say, breathe in deeply. Listen, and this, there is a similar tone that you will hear in all the educational videos.
Right.
Hello.
Are you saying that those are putting people off to sleep?
Of course it does. It's very hard for me to watch many of those videos. Many of them. Not all, but many.
But a meditation app has to do that, right? It has to sound soothing for you to be able to, concentrate and meditate.
I can't speak normally and say, why don't you breathe in and then do this? I say, why do you need to say, breathe in and explore the music of this world? Why do you need to say it
that's
like
that? That's calming. No, that's making you meditate a tad bit better. That's guided meditation, so to speak.
I find it extremely fake. So, okay. Which is, so, all right. But no, back to the whole point. I think one of the things that I would do in a learning and development team today is I would actually have a marketing team as part of the L&D team. Do you think so?
I think, yeah, of course, that's important. I think we have leveraged employee communications team quite a bit for this piece of work.
A dedicated team which knows how digital marketing works.
So maybe then an L&D team should hire, a marketing professional.
I mean,
right? It's a part of our L&D team, but managing marketing communications for all the learning work that...
And all of that. Yeah, I think HR must have a social media team as part of the team that it has. Just as you have a comp and ben, L&D, this and that. I mean, you do need to have a communications team, an internal communications team, and potentially also an external communication. This division between internal and external communication is also a very old mindset, and I think that needs to be questioned. Secondly, I think, we also, and I want to sort of ask you this question. As an employee, when you think about the mandatory courses, besides, of course, that little tone which I just talked to you about, the other thing which I think puts off people is that it almost seems to be an assumption that, formal learning is never fun. You gamify it. I mean, so then you will do some silly things that, you will, name your favorite flower and you kind of do all of those. But there isn't really a fun element. And by that, I mean three elements. Your learning content, must evoke curiosity. To me, that's first, second, and third element. So, okay, right. I'm going to give you two more. So, there'll be five. Mm-hmm. So, curiosity was one. And then there needs to be, a lot of humor in it.
Right.
The fifth element is there needs to be a lot of humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
These are the five things that...
But isn't humor a double-edged sword, right? Some people find humor...
If you don't take risks...
So that's true. I agree. But then it's like, some people enjoy that and they would want learning to be fun. But for a certain set of people, humor doesn't seem to excite them as much. And it seems like, it's if it is too humorous, if it borders on frivolity or it's trivializing, the seriousness of the content.
Yeah, so when you have many content creators...
And sorry, I forgot to mention, for the longest, we have fought with this stereotype of, learning and development being all fun and games, right? So, to me now, humor is a slippery slope, so we have to...
No, that's because many companies have turned learning and development into party games. So I'm always amused by the people who turn back and say, what exercises are planning to use? That rope twisting trick. That one we've already done in the last offsite.
Yeah.
Can you do some new thing? Oh, that candle trick. That one also we have done. So this is, one of those kiddies birthday party games.
Right.
So reduced to that standard. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Intriguing content can be really great. So science fiction is the equivalent of what we need when we are teaching science. So you need science fiction because it generates curiosity and gets you to explore. That's really what fired my imagination as a kid. But in the same way, why don't we have maybe an equivalent genre of content which actually lets you get hooked onto the learning content? It's informal and it's terrific. There's an adequate amount of entertainment. But I think you raise an interesting question. When you have many people creating content, you create taste clusters. That, I like content which has got humor. You like content which has got adventure. Third one likes content which has got ABC.
Right.
You can't get, content creators from outside to make it in
absolutely
the budget. Yeah. Get employees to do it.
Absolutely. And I totally I think that resonates with me. If you have employees, your own employees creating that content, and this sort of takes me back to, one of my previous, experiences, in one of the organizations. And, what we would do is we would have, our own employees who are, let's say, someone who's very good at photography, teach a photography class. Mm-hmm. Right? While we may have explored that more on the, hobby side of things, right. But I think there's a good enough case for us to be really using our people who are experts at a particular thing to really come forward and teach the larger community. And it could be somebody who's very good at a particular programming language, let's say in a tech company. It could be something else, right? So in that sense, it also creates that amount of curiosity and intrigue, right? And if I were to talk about this the photography class that I'm referring to. I remember when we wanted people to sign up for it, we had waiting list, right? And for all the other programs, we had to struggle to get people into a room.
Mandatory training program where there is a waiting list. I cannot wait to get certified in the code of conduct. Have you?
That's never going to happen. We have pushed till the last minute to complete.
But I disagree with that. I mean, there are, flight safety videos, which are done so creatively. I recently saw the Vistara flight safety video and I really liked it because I thought it's a boring topic and everybody who flies a lot has probably seen that kind of information over and over again. How do you make that intriguing and different?
So to that point, you must have seen that steward as well, right? And that video also got very popular, who, emoted so well and, he was very animated and the way he was doing that flight safety video, not the video, yes. but the guidelines that they share, in the beginning. Almost like you were sitting in a stand-up comedy show and that man had everyone's attention.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are multiple ways on which it can be done. So, Neha, I want to just pause and ask you, what is the emergent reality?
You tell me. What emerged for you, Abhijit, from this conversation? Tell me. Discovered something about learning and development. Tell me, what do you think is the way to go for L&D in the future? What is emerging for L&D? Tell me.
What is emerging for L&D? Well, okay, I'm going to talk about three things. And the one is, I think you need to market the programs. So have a marketing team which really knows what the consumers like. So they study the consumer and they sort of really figure out how to market the program. Two, I think you should leverage informal learning programs a lot more and choose multiple creators. Encourage people to create short form content, pretty much like the kind of TikTok videos which you don't watch, so pretty much like that short form content. So if I don't like one particular style of video, then I'm not spending 5 hours to discover that I don't like it. I spend 30 seconds and I discover that I don't like it. So there's a very low sunk cost. Three, I think making sure that the boss is one notch higher than me on that particular skill, because that really makes it possible, that I learn. So I'm a brown belt in karate and then my boss is a black belt. And that's when you really respect the boss, because the boss can also be your coach in day-to-day work. And they see the value of how it is impacting your work. So you don't need to convince the guy, what is the ROI? That's another crazy idea. That all those things, you have to first justify. What is the ROI of D&I? What is the ROI of learning and development? These things, which are intangible, they don't have a ROI that you can calculate in the same manner. Right. And it's not the reason why you should not do it.
Absolutely.
So I think that's my emergent reality.
Absolutely. And you've got that right. And that's what it is about. And, of course, that's going to be the future of L&D as well. And it takes me back to, question that was asked in our conference, which was, is the role of L&D becoming redundant? Maybe in the new scheme of things, this is going to be the emergent reality for L&D, where they can create more systems for informal learning to take place.
I don't think it's going to become redundant, but I definitely think that the role of it evolves in as much as HR used to first do only labor welfare.
Yeah.
Correct. And then IR and
right.
So and there is talent and all that stuff now.
Absolutely. There are newer things to do for L&D professionals as well. Of course, they have to rethink, reimagine, redefine their roles too in the future. But I think Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. You have something to say.
Be unabashed.
Unabashed, yes. Be unabashed. And and I think we can empower employees in this whole process if we were to identify this wisdom that already exists, this expertise that exists, and leverage that more as against getting people from outside to do this for us. Our employees know our context. But that may be the new way to go. But thank you again for another lovely conversation. I am hoping you've understood the meaning of emergent reality by now. I would want our listeners to also tell us, how they are, feeling about these episodes that we are putting out there. Are you enjoying our content? If there's anything that you'd like us to talk in particular, do tell us that. If you'd like to reach us, you can send us an email on shermindia@shrm.org. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Abhijit is also available on all of these social platforms. Abhijit, if you may want to tell them your email address. Sorry.
All right, that's the emergent reality that we are dealing with. My email address is abhijit bhaduri@live.com, live.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram.
Perfect.
And not on TikTok, because neither is Neha on TikTok, neither am I.
What are you saying? I thought you were on TikTok, which is why you asked me that question.
That's a secret.
So you are a Gen X, of course, and you don't have to be on TikTok, right?
No. I'm a Gen Z person. I sort of look at you and that, and so I think.
Yeah, perfect. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, stay unabashed. Thanks. Bye.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India, Inc.